Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Talking Real Money is brought to you today with limited commercial interruptions by Tom and Don and Bernie Madoff, too. Yes, Bernie Madoff, starring in The Monster of Wall Street on Netflix.
Don't make out, make off.
You know, you can't, it doesn't work. Don't make off, make in, make over.
I was thinking don't make out, make off.
But it's made off. Yeah, but I do think that they should rename the Ponzi scheme because nobody Ponzi better.
Well, yeah.
No, because it's a Madoff scheme. It sounds better. Ponzi just sounds kind of, it's a Madoff scheme. In other words, he made off with your money.
He made off with the money. Yeah, it does work.
It has a certain ring to it. Hello, everyone. I'm Don. That guy over there is Tom. Was he not here last week?
I didn't remember you weren't here. That's what he said when we were talking about the show.
Was he here?
Sometimes
I just don't notice.
Meaningful. Very meaningful.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he's here and I'm here. That makes two of us. And hopefully you'll be three of us when you call us at 855-935-8255. 855-935-TALK.
And now, we're going to throw in a free T-shirt.
No, we are not. T-shirt. No.
Oh, wait.
Are
we? Let me restate that.
No. See, I refuse to bribe people.
People love the shirts. They love.
Although I did cut my finger in the.
I have not gone back to listen to that. I got to go back.
And I got to tell you, that is a super absorbent T-shirt. It does staunch the blood. It just
jam right into the wound there. Yeah.
I'm telling you. Yeah. Be great.
For those who listen,
maybe we should dedicate.
You know,
no, it's not even funny. It's not even funny. I'm not going to say it. I was going to say they might be great in a war zone, but no, we have a war. It's sad. Okay. If we didn't have a war, it would be funnier, but it's not.
There's always a war somewhere.
Yeah, I guess. So call us 855-935-8255 before you find yourself the victim of a too-good-to-be-true investment concept of some sort. And, folks, they still exist.
Oh, a lot of them.
They exist.
Many.
And here's the thing. We're going to talk a little bit about a show that Tom and I started watching in the past week that apparently we're not the only one. It's like the number three show on Netflix.
Well, you finished it, you said.
I finished it because I knew I was going to be talking about it today. I stayed up late and watched it. I had to finish it. And, of course, who we are talking about is the premier Ponzi schemer of all time, or now Madoff schemer of all time, Bernie Madoff. And we're going to talk a little bit about...
He doesn't deserve as much credit as he gets. They keep turning it into a $60 billion Ponzi scheme. It was like $18
billion. 19.
So, come on, let's get it right.
19.
Right, 19.
But
still a lot of money.
Still, that's a lot of money. I mean, Charles Ponzi was a piker by comparison, even adjusted for inflation. So it's a lot of money. But anyway.
It's harder to run all those stamps. That's a lot harder to run.
At the very end of the show, someone posed the question to a former SEC, I think it was an SEC investigator. The question was, could a Madoff scheme happen again? And the answer was, not only can it will.
Oh, for sure.
It will. And that's why we are addressing this 14-year-old scandal on today's program. Yeah, do the math. 14 and a half years. 2008.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're getting old.
Well, it was been around for several decades.
Oh, it had been around for
like 30 years.
40 years.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy how long.
I watched this documentary. I did not. Now, there'll be a few spoilers here, but come on. You know what happened. He stole people's money.
Result?
He went to jail.
He died in jail.
He died in jail. which he was going to do no matter what age he lived till.
That's a good point.
But the reason we're talking about it is because this, even on a smaller scale, happens every single day in this world. Somebody out there tells you there is a way to get something you desperately want, and you refuse to believe you can't have. And that is something for nothing. Wealth without risk, a high return with no downside whatsoever. It was so fascinating. In the show, the son of one of the guys who was conned was a very bright money manager in his own right. And he told his son when he was growing up, son, if it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true. And the son said, and even my father, who preached this adage, fell for Bernie.
Yeah, what you said is exactly right. We all want to believe something that isn't true, right? We've talked about this before. You know, one pill to lose weight, quick makeover to be 30 years younger. I mean, all
those
things.
But the ultimate one, though, is wealth without risk. It really is.
And it generally comes with the guarantee, because that's what the insurance agencies sell you, right?
Right.
The guarantee.
Guarantee.
Which it doesn't turn out that way. But, okay, that... Totally agreeing with you there, but I will argue, because they say, well, my goodness, how could this ever been prevented? There is one way you, the preeple, could be prevented
the
from
preeple?
Falling for it. Number one.
You
the
lovely preeple out there.
Preeples,
those
preeples
are coming
those
are the people along. Those are the people who come before the other people. They're the preeple.
The big, bad, purple preeple eaters. Have a third-party custodian.
Okay, but let me challenge you a little on that one. Just a tiny, tiny bit. Because Bernie Madoff, in many ways, was just a little different because he did have, and you have to understand that the public doesn't understand the difference between a brokerage firm and an investment advisory firm and custody, because they knew Bernie Madoff as the guy who basically founded the NASDAQ, was chairman of the NASDAQ, came up with the idea of computerizing over-the-counter stocks. He had his own major investment firm, brokerage firm. He was a broker-dealer. He was registered as a broker-dealer. He just wasn't registered as an investment advisor, well, at least initially. So people, I can see where they would have gotten confused. And that's why I say it's not even custody isn't necessarily the answer. The answer is you have to stop suspending disbelief.
That's there's that. And I mean, what couple of the other easy ones, though, you could never access online your account. That's kind of really in today's world, even 14 years ago.
Yeah, but in the 90s. Okay,
but
go ahead.
Number three for me, affinity fraud. Because a lot of the people were of a certain religious persuasion. They believed Bernie because he was at the country club. Watch out for that.
Well, it was affinity fraud in a number of other ways, too. It wasn't just religion. It was people who hung out, rich people who hung out together, spreading the word. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money. Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
So, Tom. Madoff.
Yes.
The monster of Wall Street.
Yes.
Worth watching? Thumbs up, thumbs down? Roger.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a very well done show. Number two, I'd already read a book on it, and I think watched who was the famous actor who played him on HBO?
De Niro?
That piece. Yeah, De Niro, which was very good. This is the best because they intersperse actual interviews, depositions of Bernie with an actor, and they tell the story in a way, frankly, this time, I understand it better, and I thought I knew it pretty doggone well.
I have to get, yes, I totally agree with you because I didn't know all of the back story. There was a lot more depth to this.
Father-in-law basically got him. I mean, his father-in-law's old accounting practice is where the first $450 million came from.
And I have to tell you, I love listening to and reading Andrew Ross Sorkin. That young man.
He's a genius.
He is
a genius.
All you have to do is watch Billions and go, whoa, his writing is good. I mean,
it's
Billions
very, very
is brilliant writing.
Great storyteller, knows the business obviously very, very well, and tells it in a way that I think everybody can understand. Yeah, I think it's worth watching.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. 855-935-TALK is our phone number. If you need some help with your money, if you'd like to avoid being ripped off, if you just don't know what you should be doing, give us a call. We will do our best to help you, and we'll tell you the truth. Nancy, you're up next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Thank you. My question is about the 529 plans. I have two grandchildren, ages 7 and 11. I started the Utah plan at their birth using the Utah plan, and the fund is Vanguard Institutional Index. My question is your advice on should we stay the course? Are the fees acceptable? Should we change to the total U.S. stock market index? And will the funds stay invested for post-college education?
Yeah, those are great questions, Nancy. We are believers in the 529 plan, if you will. It's a good way to save for grandkids and kids' educations. And the Utah plan is a very fine plan. The costs are very low. They use inexpensive mutual funds. Here's the one change I would make with grandkids of 7 and 11. Because college is going to come, believe it or not, sooner than you think. The change I would make would go into the age-based program, because right now you're all in stock. So, for example, if the 11-year-old at age 16, the market went down by 30%, now you have 30% less money to help that child, that grandchild. So with the age-based program, what they do is they sort of slowly reduce. They're going to glide path down to less risk, so the assets are more stable when they're taken out. I think your other question is, will it continue to be invested after the age of the beneficiary is of college age? Yes, they will. They won't take it all out of the market. It'll stay there. And if that grandchild does not use the money, it could be passed on to the 7-year-old grandchild or someone else in the family.
Yeah, it's going to get a little bit more conservative as it moves closer to the time. And their age-based funds, even though they have one thing in there that I could pass on.
Which is what?
The PIMCO Interest Income Fund for Safety. Yeah. But it's not a very big percentage. They have Vanguard for everything else. Basically, they have the Institutional Total Stock Index Fund, just like you have. They have the Total International Stock. They have
Well,
the
she
total...
only has U.S. stocks.
Right.
She only has
the, so this will give her international exposure, too, which is great. And then they'll go more toward bond and cash as it gets closer to the time when it'll be used.
I think it makes a sense for basically, that's how my kids and grandkids have been in there, because I don't want to get up and manage all that money in addition to the other money we already manage. So that one's on kind of the regular glide path, and I think it's a great way to go.
Yeah, and just looking at the funds, just so everyone knows, when you get to, when an 11-year-old is getting ready to go to college,
don't tell me.
What?
You're going to tell me the stock to bond ratio?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was
going to guess. I was going to guess at age 11. I'll say 70% stocks, 30% bonds.
55, 45.
Okay. All right. There you go.
So there's more cash. 855-935-TALK. 855-935-8255. Nancy, thanks for calling. And Jason, it's your turn. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Hey, I enjoy your show. I found out about it on the Clark Howard show, and I enjoy it. And finally I thought it'd be fun to call in with a question I just came up with this year.
We're glad you did.
My wife and I have been contributing to Roth IRAs for, many years. And this year, late in the year, she got a large bonus that put us over that income level. And I'd heard of a backdoor Roth, so I reached out. We do it with Vanguard, and we do the biweekly. We have money put in there. So I called them to do that, and they did a reclassification and then converted mine into back into the Roth via the backdoor. They said something about some of that had to be done before the end of the year in order to be on last year's. I don't know if that was just for the conversion or what. I had one more contribution to make for that one. So that one I did, but then I guess the bigger part of my question is my wife, she's already got a traditional IRA. We rolled over from a plan that was in Merrill Lynch, pretty high cost, so we moved it into that, but that bumps us up with that pro rata rule. So I'm not
exactly.
sure if
that's
I
the thing
you
got to pay attention to.
Yeah, the pro rata.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's gets where it gets messy because if you have an individual retirement account and you want to do a backdoor Roth, which is basically putting money into an individual retirement account and then immediately moving it over to the Roth, if you have the IRA, as you correctly point out, Jason, you're going to have to move a percentage of that as well and pay the tax on
it. Right. You're aware of that?
Yeah, that's why I didn't do that. I did mine right away because I didn't have a traditional IRA. I have a 457 plan at work. I'm also at the Wisconsin retirement system. So we've got that. And then, she's got a 401k at work. But that's pretty high fee too. It's with principal.
Yeah, it is.
And,
right.
They've got high fees. The nice thing is her employer puts in the match, whether she puts into it or not. So we kind of max out my 457 plan at work. So we can get at that a little earlier. I'm older, and I think you can get at that earlier, and it's low-cost plan there. So I don't really want to roll hers into that.
Well, you don't have to roll all of hers.
She has, I don't think, because the feet.
No.
I'd have to roll all of that. Go ahead.
No, you don't have to roll all of her IRA. You have to roll a portion of her IRA over into the Roth. And you might want to just sit down and do a little tax calculation and see what kind of bracket creep that causes for you. If it doesn't cause any bracket creep, it might be worth doing and just paying that tax on that because then you get more money in a Roth growing tax-free.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Indeed we are, and we want to be talking about real money with you because you are why we do this. This has been our mission. This is our quest to follow that star, no matter. Oh wait, wrong speech.
To find the Grail.
The Grail. Come on, we're seeking the Grail. In fact, there was something in the Madoff thing where it said people were looking for the Grail. Holy Grail of money making, you know, where you never lose any money. Good old Harry Markopoulos. Gosh, you gotta love Harry.
Comes along and
you gotta watch it. You just need to watch it.
No, I've watched half of it.
Not you.
Two more to go.
I'm talking to
everybody else.
Do you notice? I turned away from you to look at the callers. I went like that. I'm looking that way. You're there to the right slightly. The callers are straight ahead, or the listeners. They're right there. It's hard to tell on the radio, isn't it? 855-935-TALK. That's the phone number. Eric, it's your turn. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thank you for everything you do. Really appreciate the show. Love the podcast as well. I actually watched all of Bernie Madoff, so I kind of just crammed it all in. That was a great Netflix show. Well done. And I didn't know they could do another movie or show or series and help me understand more of it, but they really did give more insight. So I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. It was a great show.
We're with you there. Yeah. We're with you.
I watched it over
really
two
good.
Nights. I don't think I could have done 4 hours straight. I know my wife couldn't because she was nodding off. He's like, honey.
Did they get him? No, not yet. No, wake him up.
So, this isn't a Bernie Madoff thing, but I guess I just wanted your opinion. Typically, I invest like you guys recommend with, you know, VT and VTI and VXUS and VBR and BND. But I found this, and I don't know if it's just a hobby or a bad hobby of mine, but I found this ETF that, while the market did terrible last year, it performed well. And it's, you know, it's through the use of call writing.
Yeah.
The fund kind of aims to provide investors with exposure to equity return with less volatility, all that jazz. But usually I find these and they fall apart somewhere. This one, and it's only, they say they've been doing it for 10 years, but the last 2.5, they've turned it into an ETF wrapper and they seem to have done decent. I just wanted your opinion. I haven't invested.
Give me the name.
I'm not invested in it now, but
what's the ticker?
Okay. It's SIXH. SIXH, and it's
Whoa.
I think it's only got maybe $300 million in the fund.
This name is great. The ETC 6 Meridian Hedge Equity Index Option Strategy ETF.
I feel like we've talked about this before for some reason.
I think it was another one. I think it was something similar. But it is, let's see. I know this is the first time I've looked at this one. I'm pretty sure. I don't remember looking at this before. Given the complexity of what they do, the expense ratio isn't ridiculous.
Which is what?
0.84.
It's not good, but it's not terrible.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. It's not terrible.
Not terrible?
No, for what they're doing. There's a lot of work. This is a very busy fund. They're doing a lot of stuff. The problem is they don't have a lot of history doing it. The other problem, and are they doing call writing? I'm not sure what they're doing.
Call options, it says. Against SPY.
Okay, so they're doing covered calls is what they're doing.
Yeah, basically.
So with covered calls, let me just tell you what happens. In down markets, with a covered call strategy, you don't lose like you would with just owning the index itself.
Explain why.
Because you are getting some income coming in from the selling of the right to buy the stock to someone else. That's what a covered call is. When you sell a covered call is selling someone else the right, and this is for the whole audience, selling someone else the right to buy the stock from you at a slightly higher price at some date in the future. They're willing to pay you a little bit.
So you have to be right twice, though. You have to be right twice when you buy it and then making sure.
No, covered, but that's the person buying the calls. Covered call writing is actually a relatively conservative strategy. Relatively conservative. But the problem with it is, it may help you out in down markets, but it hurts you in rising markets. It cannot. It is because it's constrained within a narrow price range. It can't do well on the upside.
Tom and Don are talking real money. Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
You know how they talk about shrinkflation, how products are getting smaller? You know, they charge you the same price, but they're making them smaller so that they don't have to inflate it. Talking Real Money today is more program for the same low price. Fewer commercial interruptions, same low price, which is zero. It's kind of a deal.
And since I want to mention one other thing.
What?
Because, go.
Is it Hawaii? Please? No.
Oh, no. Because Jason... No, it's not Hawaii. No, I'm not going there when it's raining in 44. Because this came up earlier, I just want to mention one thing that I think is fairly substantial that I didn't even know until someone asked me a question about it. The Secure Act 2.0.
Yeah.
It's going to allow people, and I guess soon, you got to rewrite the plan, but allow people to take the employer contributions they get in their 401ks, et cetera, in Roth. That's a big deal.
It could be. It could be,
but
do you have to make?
No, I think it is. Why would you ever take a contribution?
Do you have to make your plan a Roth? We're going to have to find that out. I also wanted to add, before we go back to the phones, a little primer. I just want to finish my primer on covered call writing because it's talked about quite a bit. And people, I don't blame anyone for not getting it. It's a relatively simple concept. Let's say you own a round lot. You have to have 100 shares minimum, a round lot, to sell one call. So let's say you have 100 shares of a $20 stock. And you want to sell someone a call option that expires in 6 months where they can buy the stock from you for $22 or $25 a share. Let's use $25. Makes it easier, makes the math easier. And they're going to give you 50 cents a share to get to buy the stock from you over the next 6 months at 25. That's saying they believe the stock is going to go up a lot, and it's going to make it worth their while to pay you 25 or 50 cents. Now, that's not going to happen with a $25 stock. It's more likely with a $24 stock they're going to pay you the 50 cents. But what it does is it limits, when you sell that option, it limits your upside. If the stock goes to 35, you have to sell it. You must sell it to the person who has the option to buy it at $25. So you made $5.50 giving up a $15 profit that you could have made. Make sense?
Again, when I hear this, yeah, it does make sense. But when I hear it, my question to you is, should our listening audience be doing this? Or
no,
should just
they shouldn't
be
doing
this?
But this is what people do, what professionals do. And what you get out of it is if the stock drops to $19.50, you didn't lose any money
yet. You
got
the interest. Or the
right.
Right,
you got that. Okay. 855-935-TALK is our phone number. Evan, it's your turn. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Yeah, good afternoon. My question is, I didn't understand you were talking backdoor Roths and IRAs. Could you explain what you mean by backdoor?
Yeah, okay, so an individual retirement account, or IRA, is money that goes, it's a qualified account, right? This is money you put into, you put money into an IRA and generally get a tax deduction for that. And it grows tax deferred, not tax free. In other words, at some point that money has to come out and you have to pay tax on it. Versus a Roth, which is money you've already paid tax on, it goes in post-tax and then grows tax free. So there's a lot of advantages to having money in Roth, because then when you retire, you can pull money out of the Roth with no taxes. The backdoor Roth is a way to kind of, and I don't know how much longer it's going to exist.
Well, it exists because people are limited. Some, if you have a higher income, you at some point you can't contribute to
about
a Roth
200,000,
anymore. About 200, depending.
At about 200,000, a couple. For an individual, it's, I think, 150, something like that. So you can no longer directly contribute to the Roth IRA at that point. How people get around that is they put money into an IRA.
A non-deductible IRA. A non-deductible IRA.
And thank you. And then they immediately move it over to the Roth. But here's the catch. If you already have money in an IRA, that was the question that came up with Jason, then you have to move a certain amount of that pro rata from the IRA to the Roth and pay the tax on it. In other words, because that's just like income. So it's a great trick, but if you have a substantial individual retirement account, it doesn't really work. And again, as I mentioned, this is one of those things that I think will go away at some point. I was surprised. I thought Secure Act 2.0 would get rid of it, because it comes up, because it's kind of a, for lack of a better expression, a rich man's trick in some ways, because if you're rich and you make $200,000 a year, you can't put money in a Roth, and now you can. So it's that. Does that help, Evan?
Yes, I think that answered my question. Thank you so much. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you calling. 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. And I'm glad you say that, because really, this is a backdoor Roth is not something that anybody who makes less than six figures is ever going to want to do. There's no reason. It would make no sense.
There's none. So exactly. So again, this is for higher earners, I guess, in today's world. I use it because I don't have an IRA. My wife's IRA, we moved entirely from an IRA to her Roth a few years ago. So now we can both do a backdoor Roth every year. And again, how long it lasts, I don't know. I mean, and back to kind of retirement savings, I think I've said this before, that the government should get rid of all pre-tax savings and make everything Roth. Collect their tax, move on. It's easier. Do it in a 401k too. It's gone. Move it into the Roth, pay the tax, move on with your life. It's simpler.
Yeah.
And by the way, then you'd have no RMDs because you'd already paid the tax on it.
Yeah.
What do they care?
It's a lot simpler. I wouldn't like
it's
it as
easier.
Much because my income now has gone up and it'll go right back down again in the future. So I want the deduction now because I'll be in a lower bracket later. Yeah. I know I'll be in a lower bracket
Good
later because, you know, I was an entrepreneur most of my life. I didn't save a lot of money. Not enough.
So again,
not nearly enough.
Yeah, exactly. So, Evan, that's a great question. And again, as Don correctly points out, unless you make six figures, there's no reason to even think about a backdoor Roth. You should just be doing a Roth. Period.
You know, this goes to the whole idea of this show and financial publications. This stuff is way more complicated sometimes than it needs to be, particularly on a tax from a tax standpoint.
Then
tax
that's what I'm saying. If you just make everything Roth,
everything should be simpler.
You just put the money in. Boom.
Maybe it should just be everything.
Let's
gets
get more
taxed
people to do it
at a lower rate all the time.
Yep.
855-935-TALK. Call us. We'll talk about your money situation, your questions, your ideas.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Do me a favor. Grab your latest investment statements if you know where they are. How many do you have? A lot? How many different investments are in each statement? A bunch? Do you own individual stocks, bonds, sector funds, and stuff you don't understand? Yeah, I thought so. I'm Don McDonald, and I'm pretty sure you have a case of hodgepodgeitis. But don't worry, it's not terminal and can be cured. But it takes three things: a bit of time, some fiduciary guidance, and a plan. There's a problem, though. Most financial advisors can't or won't provide any of those. That's where we come in. Tom and I will provide you the help you need to overcome hodgepodgeitis in a free, no-obligation meeting with an Appella advisor at TalkingRealMoney.com. So, scan or take a picture of all those pages you gathered, then go to TalkingRealMoney.com, click on Meet an Advisor, and set up a free appointment online or by phone when it's convenient for you. Let us sort through the mess and help you get started on a better, simpler future plan. Just go to TalkingRealMoney.com or call 800-386-3004.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
The things we talk about during these brief commercial interruptions.
And by the way, for those of you who don't listen to the podcast, you need to listen to yesterday's January 6th podcast. No, Don doesn't say anything about January 6th, the January 6th you're thinking of. He talks. We had a guy who called in. Of course, we're behind on the calls. Called in about Don's picks for Christmas movies. It's worth hearing. I thought you came up with some great ideas.
I came up with some great old. He said classics.
Yeah.
He said classics.
Yeah, he did.
Funny thing about, though, him, he was young. So for him, a classic is 1971. You know, I kind of go back.
And I didn't know the Scrooge from 1971.
It was in the 70s. Bill Murray.
That's not
Bill Murray.
That's the 80s. That's the
Was
80s.
It the 80s? Oh, I thought it was the late 70s or something.
He said 1971. I didn't know what he was referring to.
But
when
he said Scrooge.
I think he said Scrooge, and you were referring to Bill Murray. I think that movie was made in the mid-1980s or something. Anyway, it's worth hearing. So, by the way, available at all of your favorite podcast services. So download today.
Okay. Wow. There was one from 1970.
Maybe that's it. I didn't know which one he referred to. So
I don't even know that one. Oh, it was Albert Finney's.
Oh, good. Yeah, that is a good one.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
that's
that one.
That's what he's referring to.
That's the
there
one.
There you go.
Albert Finney and Alec Guinness.
Look up Bill Murray. What year was that one? That was, I'm going to say, like 86, 87, something
yeah,
in the
you're
late
right,
80s, which I like, too.
He was SNL.
It was after SNL, yeah. I think that was a good one, too. But
88. Okay, I see. I thought he said
Scrooge. We're moving on from Christmas, by the way. We're moving on from Christmas.
Okay,
it's worth hearing.
We're going to go to
nice
New Year's Eve is next here on Talking Real Money. Oh, no.
I'm asleep by 9 o'clock, so don't worry.
Rebecca's next, though. Next best thing to New Year's Eve. Hey, Rebecca,
sure.
Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hello. Thank you so much. I do have a couple questions. I caught a tail end of one of your programs a couple weeks ago in terms of the fees, and I can't remember you listed, you know, these are the, you know, high-fee investment companies. So, for example, I use Stifel. Are they one of those high-fee people, high-fee?
Well, they're a brokerage.
Talk for a minute,
Tom. So it's going to depend.
Well, no, I can look up their ADV Part 2.
Yeah, I don't even know. I know they have an RIA, but I also think they are registered as a brokerage.
Oh, they are. They're a dual register.
Products. But this is the problem, because just say, are they more expensive? Well, it depends on your relationship with them. Some will just sell you products, collect a commission. That's that. Some will sell you products and collect the commission and then charge you for managing the money, which is outrageous, but it happens. And they'll do it in high expense mutual funds. The point of the matter, because I was the one who had this story, was that one out of five of us believes they're paying nothing. And unless you're managing stocks on your own, you're paying something. So Don's looking up Stifel right now, which is a very well-known firm. The deal is, here's what we believe. We don't think you should work with anyone who charges commissions, period.
Period.
It creates a conflict of interest. It's generally more expensive, and usually the products are not as good as non-commission products. You know, no-load mutual funds, no-load Don's falling over in his chair. So if Stifel is using their RIA arm with you, Don?
Then, yes, they are charging too much.
Their
wrap account has a fee of up to 2%.
Yikes.
Per year. And that does not cover the product fees.
That's the worry.
Their product fees can run, it says, between 0.1%, 0.1%, and 1%. So your total fees and expenses can be as high as 3%. And this is according to Stifel's ADV Part 2 for their wrap fee, because I don't want anybody saying, well, you just made... No, this is what they report to the SEC.
And if you woke up in the morning, I guess the question people always ask me, well, should I change? Here's the thing. If you wake up in the morning and you say, well, I could do this or I could do this, Stifel would not be a place I would go because they're duly registered. They would not be a place I go because they believe in active management. And then, as Don also said, their fees are very high. Therefore, I'm going to look and say, okay, where do I go to get someone who's always acting in my best interest 100% of the time? That is a fee-only registered investment advisor. We have a list of good ones at our website. That's where we think you should start rather than continuing to work with them.
Yeah, go to talkingrealmoney.com/help. And that's where you find all kinds of information on finding a better advisor. And the point Tom was making on that previous program was a good one, because there have been more than one study done of investment advisory firms in the United States. And by investment advice firms, they're including broker-dealers, insurance agents who sell investments like annuities, and registered investment advisors. They're all included in that. And in the United States, there are, what was the number? It's about 1 million of
and
them.
And out of those?
Out of those, only 10,000 are always required, always being the key word, always required to act in your best interest. They don't have a carve out where they can kind of not do what's best, do what's okay for you, but not great.
And they'll always tell you they're a fiduciary.
Right. Because
always. They say that.
And you know, it's funny, when we started doing this show, less than 10 years ago, this show.
Yep, this particular
there were very iteration. Few people who cared a bit about calling themselves fiduciaries, but we made
everybody
a lot of noise about fiduciaries, and suddenly everybody is saying, oh, I'm a fiduciary. But the question you must ask them is, are you always a fiduciary? Always, 100% of the time. Do you ever get a commission for anything? If the answer is, yeah, I do. But I'm still, mumble. I'm trying to make excuses. I'm averting my eyes. I can't look you in the eye because I'm lying to you. But, yeah, sometimes we get commissions, but this is, we're still fiduciaries. Then leave them.
They said that about Bernie, by the way, that he never looked anyone in the eye. Remember? I think it was in the show.
Yeah, it was in the show. One of the things that was so fascinating about the Madoff thing, the most fascinating thing of all, was that near the very end of his career in like 2006. In 2006, the SEC did a full-fledged investigation. And he went into the SEC's office and they said, sir, we need to see the bank account of the bank where the money's being held. We need
the trading,
the list
records
of all the people with whom you've traded. And he gave them all this information. And he said, he walked out the door and he said, boy, if they check that stuff, I'm in big trouble. Because all of it was
checked.
A lie. They never checked. And all they'd said was, hey, Bernie, do us a favor. You've been running illegally for like ever. Can you just go ahead in 2006, now that you've been doing this for 35 years, and register as an investment advisor with the SEC? So they let him register, which gave him more credibility, which meant more money poured into the Ponzi scheme. Oh.
It is crazy. It literally is, and it makes for great TV viewing. Not so great if you're an investor.
Well, but it also makes for the most amazing object lesson. If you think somebody else is going to be looking out for you, if you think because somebody says it who's got a reputation that it's true, if you just blindly believe that someone is going to take care of you should something bad happen, you're fooling yourself. It comes down to you. You must protect you all of the time. I'm sorry. It's hard. It means reading prospectuses. It means calling Talking Real Money. It means doing stuff that's not fun.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Hey there. Retirement. Retirement. Yeah, nice to meet you. Oh, you think we've met before, do you? You got another thing coming. You haven't met me, but you can meet me. If you want to meet retirement head on, well, Tom, tell them how they can meet retirement.
All you have to do is register for Retire Meet 2023. Coming up Saturday, the 25th of February, includes the great Don McDonald, Paul Merriman,
Paul Lepescu. Me.
You'll be there as well.
I'll be
and
there.
Here's the great news.
What?
We'd love to see you in person in Bellevue, but very limited seating this year.
Very.
So get in early. We've already sold out, I think, 20% of the seats.
Oh,
get the seats.
Gosh.
Go to retiremeet.com. Early bird special right now. And if you don't want to come see us there, visit us online.
It's going to be so much fun. Come on. You know you want to meet me. I know you think you have. You haven't. Go to retiremeet.com. Find out.
You realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future, so past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. And to keep the lawyers happy.